So how's the weather today in your studio? Cloudy with a chance of people? Isolation is what we're talking about today in Hat Chats. Hat Chats. Today's topic is for creative people who are working independently. A lot of the times we are in our own studio or our workspace and by ourselves, so this topic is isolation. And how it works for us, and how it sometimes works against us. I'm going to read a few words from a book called The War of Art. The War of Art is written by Stephen Pressfield. He's actually the author of a lot of fiction novels, including The Legend of Bagger Vance. If you've ever seen that movie, it's a great story. But this book, War of Art, I really recommend it. It's very easily digestible. Nice short little thoughts about what we have to overcome as artists and the obstacles that get in our way and that we sometimes put in our own way. So isolation, on page 44, he says, quote, "Sometimes we balk at embarking on an enterprise because we're afraid of being alone. We feel comfortable with the tribe around us. It makes us nervous going off into the woods on our own. Here's the trick. We're never alone. As soon as we step outside the campfire glow, our muse lights on our shoulder like a butterfly." End of quote. So I wanted to just react to that because I really love how he says that. Sometimes when we're thinking about taking a leap into some kind of enterprise or something that we've had in our mind that we aren't sure we can take on alone, it is scary. The thought of being completely independent can be a scary thought. And at the same time, it's, you know, sometimes when we step away from the other influences that we're immersed in, we step away from all that noise. That's when, as he says, our muse lights on our shoulder like a butterfly. And we can sort of get in touch with our higher ambitions and our higher self to do the creative work that we're feeling like we're called to do. A little bit later in this passage, this is the other quote I really love because I relate to this. I think you might as well. He says, "It is common among artists and children at play that they're not aware of time or solitude when they're chasing their vision. The hours fly. A sculptress and the tree-climbing tyke both look up, blinking, when mom calls supper time." I just think that's beautiful because I think if you are a maker or designer, artist, whatever, you know that once you do get into that zone, the time just goes away. And it's a surreal kind of place to be. It's a nice deviation from the normal world of distractions or outer influences. Once we get that focus and we're really digging into what we're actually trying to create or express, it's very, I think, childlike magic that not everyone is able to maintain and into their adulthood. You know, Picasso said, "Every child is born an artist, and the trick is to remain one." So isolation can really be our friend when we can embrace the quiet and use the isolation for true productivity and clarity as to what we're building or making or painting or planning. That muse of ours lights up once we get out to that sacred space where we go when we venture away from the so-called campfire, which, you know, could be social media chatter, might be real face-to-face interactions with family or friends or colleagues, but that quiet time is golden. I have been working independently now in my own private studio for a little over 10 years. And you know, it's awesome because you're your own boss and you set your own hours, and that's why I did it. I became a mom about 13 years ago, and it was really a priority to me to be able to have a flexible schedule so that I can be available for my family. So when you're working on your own in your own studio and you're your own boss, there's a lot of pressure to get things done, and especially if you are a parent and you're trying to do it all in that small window of when they're away at school, you need that quiet time to focus. So over time, I got better and better at the self-discipline part of it, and I became very productive. That is absolutely a positive thing about working alone. You don't have to listen to distractions of noisy coworkers in a shared space. But I found myself over time feeling like I was dangerously isolated, like out on my own island. So and not in a good way, like there were no pina coladas and, you know, no boats on that island. It was just me on an island with no lifeline. I found that my window on the world became solely the internet. Now, the internet's great, right? I mean, the internet's why we can work from home. It's why we can work remotely if it's for an employer. I mean, we can market ourselves now to the whole wide world. You know, your products can be national and international. So it really becomes our channel of socializing and feeling like we're putting ourselves out there. So right now, case in point, you're listening to a broadcast or podcast through the internet, and you're able to find something like this that you're interested because of search terms and hashtags and things that tie into how we market ourselves and how we find other people and align with the tribes that we want to align with. If I stumble on a question about a new feature in software that I use, I can hop right on YouTube and I can figure it out. So who needs real people, right? It's just all at our fingertips. Well, what also happens is I got a little bit skewed just seeing the world from the screen of my computer so much. And I also wanted to self-educate so much. I was joining tons of professional forums and Facebook groups of people who did similar things as to what I do. So I was selling my products on Etsy, and I belonged to like six different groups that I would go into, and everyone would be discussing their problems that were relating to running a shop on Etsy. And I would just devour all this information constantly because I felt I needed it. Who else was I going to learn it from? My family and friends didn't know anything about it. I needed to be in these communities. And you know, it is a great source of information, but you also sort of take on everybody's problems and everyone's negativity, and it's very distracting. Even though you can be learning from it, I strongly recommend if you do something like that, be careful on how often you're digesting all of that. You can kind of get really sucked in and become a little bit addicted to doing things that you think are building you professionally, or, you know, building your knowledge. And really, we make up a lot of justifications for our use of the internet. Social media goes without saying that that's an obvious time suck. But I definitely found myself saying, yeah, but it's all related. It's business related. I need to be on these channels for marketing. And I still do. It's not that I'm gone from there. But I would spend hours before bedtime just posting and hashtagging on Facebook, Instagram, pinning my Pinterest pins. And what happens is I think our lines get very blurred as to what our actual productivity is. And worse, I think we also run the risk of devaluing our face-to-face communications in our own real-life community. And this can easily happen too, because you could think as an artist or a creator, well, you know, what I'm doing, it's not relevant to my actual local community. People in my town would never buy my products. They're not my target audience. Well, sure, you know, that's viable, but it really isn't the point. We need interactions that are going to benefit us as an artist, as a creative, and as a human. We still want to be humans too, right? So even though we work in isolation a lot of the time, and as I've said, it can make you very productive, there are some patterns that can emerge that can be a little bit negative for our overall well-being. So I want to just bring to light some insidious problems that isolation can bring, a few things we can do to combat it, and not only what to do, but why we should pay attention to these things. So obviously, productivity was the good thing. Isolation can totally be our friend when it allows us to focus, to get in touch with that higher creative self, and even get a little lost in the realm of creating, where time sort of slips away because we're so focused and enthralled with the task at hand. It's a beautiful thing to just buckle in and turn off the distractions and get a lot done. I mean, that's fantastic, right? That's a good day. But let's talk about the bad days, because those come, you know, they come along, and sometimes it's a matter of, you know, every piece of technology you touch is just not working the way it should, or, you know, maybe you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed, whatever it may be. For me, I noticed at a point in time, I was, again, when I say my window on the world started to seemingly be the internet, reading the news did not always put me in the most chipper mood. So, you know, it's a big crazy world out there. Suddenly you can You know, if you're feeling a little fragile one day, you can just feel pretty small and everything else can seem so big and insurmountable and scary. And I know for me, I have to really keep an eye on that because as a creative person, I tend to be an empath. And one distressing story might just twist my mood into a dark place for hours. Now, if I worked in an environment where I had people around me, I would be more likely to, you know, have to get up, walk away from the desk, maybe pass someone in the hall and then be kind of like forced to stop and smile and chat with people. You know, when we do that, we're going to put on a happier face, right? Because we don't want to just like launch out ranting at every person that comes down the hall at us. Well, hopefully. What happens in our brain is happiness chemicals will start to release just because we've even faked the smile and we've kind of faked being friendly and tried to snap ourselves out of our mood a little. And we start to feel a little bit better. We've talked to a human, you know, we've smiled, we've interacted, and that little act starts to turn things around for us. But if we're sitting alone in our studio for 5 hours straight, there might be no one to smile at. That might be a good time to go find your pet. You know, if you've got a cat or a dog or a goofy little creature that makes you smile, it makes you kind of just, you know, turn your mood around rather than staying stuck in that negative pattern. There is a definite value to being aware of when you're just going down a toxic mindset type of a day, and shifting that energy for yourself is important. So contact with other people is usually one of the best things you can do. I noticed a huge shift in my business for the positive when I began to call my customers and check in on them and make sure that things were happening on their timeline, etc. For one thing, I think it differentiated me because everybody does so much by email now. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to be a real pain in their neck or spend half of your day on the phone. But just think in your business, if you were to pick up the phone once or twice a day and call somebody rather than email, what difference might that make for your customer and for their perception of you? But also, especially if you're just having one of those days that's a little tricky and you pick up that phone, even though that's the last thing in the world you feel like doing, but you pick up that phone and you put on that friendly, happy voice. That's the customer service voice that you know, you have to buy into it to put that voice on. And by the time you hang up, you should probably feel at least a little bit better. You've made some human contact. Maybe you've joked around a little or had a little light conversation that was just nice and a little uplifting. You've got to find that little pivotal human touch point that can help feed your positive energy. And taking that one step further, I also find that doing more video meetings now, whether it's Skype or Zoom or doing a Facebook Live broadcast, things like that, those will force you to consider how you're portraying yourself, how you're presenting yourself. And I think that's very important. We can let a lot of things slide when we don't expect to see anyone all day, you know? And every now and then, I guess it feels kind of nice to do that. But overall, when that becomes the pattern and the rhythm is really not caring about how you look or how you sound, it's kind of a slippery slope. Your self-worth can really take a dive. Working in pajamas, not brushing your teeth or showering just because you can get away with it, not good. Why not? Because there is no possible way that habitually showing up to your studio like that is good for your own self-worth and self-esteem. Messy clothes, fine. I mean, if you're painting or making a mess, messy clothes are part of your persona, right? So you're like your uniform, so to speak. But you've got to do those things that you do to make you feel presentable. When I was a sign painter and muralist, you could find me all over town during a workday in clothing just absolutely covered in paint. But I still had clean hair and brushed teeth, you know. I did my makeup or whatever. It's not about being fancy, but it is about dressing up in the sense of, like, think of it like you've been cast in a play and your character is an artist. Dress the part. Be the part. There are some days I'm dressed a little more artsy or bohemian than others, but there are days I'm actually in more of a sales mode or meeting mode. And sometimes for me, it's just a matter of my footwear. I actually feel more like I'm getting somewhere when I work with shoes or boots on. So metaphorically or literally, I don't know, but you know, versus just having socks or slippers on, it's all about the mindset. The reason we have to pay attention to how we look, even if we're not being seen, is because how we see ourselves matters even more when we are working in isolation. My final piece of advice here would be get out. You just have to sometimes get out of the studio. I don't care if you have the coolest studio ever, it's the most charming place and you love it and you're very inspired there all the time. Then that's wonderful. I have a feeling that nobody feels 100% like that 100% of the days. So breakfast or lunch dates, do that at least once a week, maybe twice. Reach out to other self-employed people or another artist or creative. Now and then check out a group that does a meetup and pop in. You know, even if you're shy, if you just force yourself to show up for even 30 or 40 minutes, just shake up the routine and mingle with the world a little. The grocery store and the gas station do not count. The places where you go but don't look up from what you're doing, that's no good. It doesn't count as participation in life or in socializing. But Michelle, I hate socializing, right? I'm an introvert. It's probably why I'm an artist, right? There are definitely a few people nodding right now. And sure, that's fair. We're not as collectively as creatives. We're not usually all about mixing and mingling. But this isn't about changing your personality at all. This is about checking in and checking yourself, because isolation will allow you to let things slide. So if you don't check in a little here and there, you may not realize it, but trust me, your personality is going to change. I'm not trying to change your personality. It's going to change itself. If we don't check in a little here and there, we may not realize it, but our personality will change slowly, day by day. It's not until we, you know, down the line, we realize not only do we not enjoy being social, we've actually forgotten how to do it. You know, good graces are taken for granted. So don't let your studio turn you into a cave person who can't engage with others in real life. It's a real danger as we immerse ourselves with all this perceived connectivity through email or social media. The other benefit, too, of getting out of the studio has to do not just with social interaction, but with surroundings, too. New sights, smells, temperatures, tastes, all of that. Get out and immerse yourself with different stimuli for your brain so that you can spark new ideas. You're creative. You know that. You know that anytime you go somewhere that's a little different, it will help you break out of repetitive patterns and ruts. Keep it in mind as you go through your day. Human beings build patterns and we build habits because that's the most efficient way to get things done. That's just human nature. We want to find the path of least resistance, so we build effective and efficient patterns for a good reason. At the same time, too many patterns, too many rhythms can lead us, especially creatives, into a rut. Hopefully your eyes are open and you will use isolation to its best potential and also realize when it's not serving your productivity or your creativity or your creative spirit. I'm Michelle Baker, and I'm so glad you joined me for this Hat Chat.